You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, now available on iTunes. Hit the subscribe button and never miss an episode. We are also available on Audio Boom and Mixcloud, while Android users can find us on Pocket Casts and Podcast Republic. Enjoy the show and thanks for listening. Tonight's episode of Between the Stripes LOI podcast is sponsored by Flomax Industrial Equipment. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
You're all very welcome to the Between the Stripes LOI podcast New Year special. Ladies and gentlemen, you're all very happy New Year, each and every one of you. Thanks for joining us. I'm joined this week again by my Yorkshire co-host. And no, it's not Malachy Branigan, the man who's allegedly going to be the new marketing director slash CEO at Dundalk once the reporter takeover is confirmed in the coming days. It's, of course, John Breyer.
Yeah, hi, Kieran, and happy New Year to all the guests. Yeah, Yorkshireman taking over at Dundalk. Well, two things will happen, Kieran. They'll be magnificent, and the second thing will be they won't spend a penny. Because we have the equivalent reputation as the cavern gentleman, shall we say.
Yes, maybe a few pies as well at the ground, steak pies. And
definitely. A bovril. Steak pie and a bovril, yeah, definitely.
Fantastic. So, John, so we're going to have a lot of discussion tonight. Been a lot of action over the off-season. We are going to obviously speak to Darren Meenan. He's our first guest of 2018. Huge signing for Longford Town. We all expected that he was going to sign for RWDM in the Belgian fourth tier, which was quite an eye-catching story over the off-season. But he's signed for Longford Town, so we'll speak to him about that. We'll speak to his manager, Neil Fenn, who is a great friend of the podcast, of course, and he is going to join us. Another big deal that was done over the off-season, James Duna has he's crossed over the Dublin divide. He's gone from Shamrock Rovers to St. Pat's, despite links with Tranmere. So again, we'll speak to him about that. And we have Dave Donnelly from the Second Post on. He's going to run through all the big deals over the off-season in the Premier Division. And we'll speak to Kevin Kiley, who is a disgruntled Limerick FC fan at the moment. Obviously, Limerick have lost their manager and not a lot of transfer activity there at the moment. But this is the first show of the season, folks. So get a cup of tea in your hand and enjoy the next hour and a half or so. And thanks for joining us. And I'm just on the subject of Yorkshire, John. I see you've been a very busy man on social media this week. Your Twitter has banged, as they put it these days, Yeovil Town with a big draw in the FA Cup.
Well, I'm used to dealing with viruses at work, being a pharmacist. But it was a bit of a throwaway tweet. Yeovil drew Manchester United in the Cup, so I was delighted with that. And I did put online that it was great to get a nice, easy tie. I was dreading getting Man City. And I've been popular in one side of Manchester. Not so popular in the red half, Kieran.
You've had to turn off the notifications. Hopefully the folks that enjoy the show tonight, they're not going to be sending any abuse to us afterwards.
Currently, 750 likes, 200 retweets. Like I said, I had to turn the phone off in there,
Kieran. I hope you
had
the Between the Stripes tag in your bio, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Right, John, so we're going to get our first guest of the season on. Darren Meenan, obviously a three-time league winner with Dundalk. He's played for some big clubs, including Shamrock Rovers. As I said in the intro there, we all expected him to be signing for a Belgium club, but Neil Fenn got on the phone and he's got his man. And Longford Town at the moment, a lot of people are making them favourites for the First Division title. But as a few people have pointed out on our Facebook page this week, and make sure you give it a like, Between the Stripes is the Facebook page. A lot of people have pointed out that Longford were, of course, favourites last season with Waterford, and look how that went. It was a horrendous season until Neil Fenn came in and turned things around slightly. But we're going to speak to Darren Meenan now, and this is the interview we recorded with a little bit earlier on. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to be joined by our first guest of 2018. It's a big name signing for Longford Town. It's three times League of Ireland winner, Darren Meenan. Darren, you're very welcome to the show.
Cheers, lads. Thanks.
So, Darren, I think we all thought if you were going to appear on the podcast this season, we'd be speaking to you from Belgium. You've of course, were linked with a move abroad there recently, but you've turned up at Longford Town. From reading a couple of interviews you've done, I see you've speaking about Neil Fenn being a big influence in the decision to join Longford. So perhaps maybe you could just tell us a little bit about how the move came about.
Yeah, obviously, I know Fenn years. You know, he played in the league, and I was chatting to him for a good few weeks. And straight from the start, like, he knew the position I was in with going out. I had a few other clubs interested, but I said to him, if it didn't work out in Belgium when I went over, I told him I was going off the sign, and was kind of dead in the water. Then we came back and I just signed, and that was because I wanted to start, and that was it.
I think a lot of Longford fans have likened your signing, Darren, to the Stephen Rice arrived in 2014. He was obviously a man who'd won the league previously with Rovers. Pat Flynn arrived that season, as did Pat Sullivan. And a lot of Town fans would pinpoint that that experience that came into the dressing room as a big reason for the team winning the league that season. Has Neil spoken to you about bringing in your experience? Obviously, you have a man, you're a man that's won big things with Dundalk, and you've played for big clubs like Shamrock Rovers in the past.
Oh yeah, but of course, it's about coming in now and showing the young lads, how to do things right. But you know, eating right, keeping yourself right, you know, even in the runs and pre-season, you know, trying to push on all the young lads that we have, because we've a lot of very good young lads there, and this year is going to be a massive year for them, and you know, we'll need a big squad and everyone pulling their weight. And if we do that, I'm sure we'll be up there in the belt.
Yeah, you mentioned there that it is quite a young squad this season at Longford. I'm just wondering, do you have a lot of knowledge of your teammates, or are you going to be looking, obviously, to, in pre-season, get a better knowledge of how the team plays and the players that you'll obviously be playing with this season?
You know, I'm starting to get all the names now, and, you know, I'm looking to see which way people are playing, and, you know, which way they play and where they play, and you know, which kind of movements they do, and you know, it'll take time, you know, but we'll work hard in the training pitch, and you know, I think the first game is against Rovers, so
yeah,
you know, it couldn't be a big game to start with.
And on this season, the objective at Longford, have you come here with the sole in mind that Longford can win the league this season, or has Neil set out a different goal for you this season?
No, we mightn't say that's the goal, but let's be honest, it is to get up there. You know, now obviously, you know, both when we want to play nice football, Neil will have us playing football the way it should be played, and you know, not old skill kicking the ball down the other end of the pitch and, you know, squeezing the lift.
And Darren, I was just going to ask you, Longford have just started pre-season training. How's that going so far?
And, everyone's going into strength conditioning now at the minute, and we play a ball, but you know, I'm sure them all will be introduced now. Come next week, I'd say.
And Darren, these young players at Longford Town, they're not beating you on the strength and conditioning, are they?
No, I'm still up there just a bit, but I'm doing fine. Everyone's around them now, in the past 2 years. So listen, as I said, it's a very young squad, and you know, so I think they're all probably 20, 21, so they should be fit anyways.
And has there been any chance for any of these young players to catch your eye yet, Darren?
Yeah, listen, there's three or four. Listen, I don't want to mention any names. I wouldn't just pick three. You know, I'll get to know them over the next few weeks, and I'm just looking forward to getting to know them and just working hard and
Well, Darren, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thanks very much. You're the first player to come on the show this season, and obviously we look forward to seeing you in action in pre-season, and want to wish you the very best of luck.
Cheers, lads.
Thanks, Darren. So great to hear from Darren Meenan there, John. We're going to move on now to speak about the First Division. It's going to be a hugely exciting, interesting and competitive division next season. Unlike last year, obviously with no playoffs, we had our runaway winners, Waterford and Barcove and UCD. I think a lot of the other sides in that division last season underperformed, but obviously it's a 10-team division this season with some big clubs, Drogheda, Galway and Finn Harps all coming down. Longford have made some big signings. Shelburne have made one very noticeable signing. So I suppose we'll start there, John. The biggest topic over the off-season has been the signing of David O'Sullivan for Shelburne from Longford Town. I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Well, it's a big name striker for Shelburne, isn't it? And we were talking earlier before we started recording the podcast, Kieran, about, you know, the strikers in the division, and you know, the big name strikers, there aren't that many really, apart from, you know, the one that you would probably like out of all the teams would be Davey O'Sullivan. So a couple of things. I'd be interested to talk to Neil about you know, whether how keen they were to keep Davey, because you'd think a proven goal scorer at that level, especially with Longford not really having a proven goal scorer signed up. You know, great signing for Shells though.
Yeah, as you said, we'll speak to Neil shortly on the show, and we'll put those questions to him. But just speaking to a lot of Longford Town fans over the off-season, you know, a lot of them are very upset and disappointed that David O'Sullivan has left. And as you said, a lot of people are asking, you know, did the club make an effort to keep David? But when you read interviews that David O'Sullivan has given over the off-season, he's spoken about, you know, there was a lot of change at the club. He felt it was just a good time to move on. Obviously, Shelburne is much closer to where he works in Dublin. He obviously has a full-time job there, so he's not able to really commit to, you know, travelling as much down to Longford so it suits him in that regard.
Yeah, I think it was a move that suited Davey and his family. You know,
yeah,
the fact that he is,
you know, you can't begrudge him that. He's given absolutely unbelievable service to Longford Town. But I have to say, he's definitely going to be a huge goal threat for Shelburne. I was impressed with Shelburne towards the end of last season. I thought they played some very good counter-attacking football. Mm-hmm. My mind goes back to the 3-1 win they had over Longford at the City Colin Stadium towards the tail end of last season, and all three goals came on the counter-attack. And when you think now that they're going to have a player like David O'Sullivan up there who just can sniff a goal out at any moment in a game, you really would have to put Shells up there as contenders for at least the playoff place this season.
I think so. I think they've got the majority of the squad signed up anyway, yeah. Kieran, at this stage, and they brought in the likes of O'Sullivan and Gavin Boyne from Longford. So
Boyne didn't really pull up any trees at Longford, in all honesty, but he's been with Shelburne before, so maybe the familiar surroundings might
in and out of the team. Yeah, Kieran, bad injury as well.
Yeah,
so.
He has definitely. Don't get me wrong, he has got talent. He did have a couple of good games for Longford Town, and he does seem quite good on the ball, but. He just didn't seem to nail down a place at Longford. So it could work out for him at Shelburne. But for me, the big thing about this Shelburne side, a lot of the players were there last season. Obviously, Owen Heary is still there. So there should be a real continuity among the squad. And I think that's going to be something that Longford won't have. Longford have brought in a lot of new players. It's going to take them time to gel. You look at the other squads there, the similar situation. So Cove are in a similar situation where they have the majority of their squad from last season signed up. So I think the sides that have kept the core of their players could be real contenders this season.
Yeah, now Cabin Teely haven't done a right lot of business, Kieran, but two signings that they have brought in, big name. I mean, we were raving about Stephen McGuinness last season in the Drogheda goals. Has probably been one of the best goalkeepers in the league, along with the likes of Shane Supple. So that's a real coup for Cabin.
Yeah, I think everyone expected Stephen to end up at a Premier Division side. So that's a huge sign of Cabin Teely. He had a huge role to play in Stephen signing for Cabo, and also a huge role he's played in keeping Marty Waters, probably the best player in the First Division, hit double figures last season. You'd imagine he'd do the same again this year. That's a real piece of business. And, you know, Cabo, I think they can be up there and contend. Obviously, last year they had their highest finish in the First Division since coming into it. The playoffs are there. It's a real carrot for clubs this season to aim and be ambitious. So we'll keep an eye on Cabin Teely over the coming weeks, see who else comes in there. Obviously, they've lost Jason Byrne, but he was only really a bit part player. And we'll have to see what other business has done. But, you know, I think Cabo will be contenders.
Yeah, I was really surprised that Marty Waters stayed there, to be honest, Kieran. Yeah. I expected you know, him to go to Premiership club. You know, I think he's an exceptional striker for the level. Cabo have got a gem there.
Yeah, we've spoken about Cove. They've retained 11 players from last season, and more business expected in the coming days. So Stephen Henderson, there, he's one of the most highly rated managers in the division. Cove should be up there again this season, John, I imagine.
Yeah, I think so. It's all about stability there, isn't it? There's not a lot of money to play with. They've re-signed Paul Hunt, which for me is a key signing, you know, a decent goalkeeper at that level. So, yeah, there's no reason to say that they won't get to the same level as last year.
Now, a club where there has been a lot of change, relegated Drogheda, a new manager in there, Tim Clancy. It's going to be his first job in senior management. And Dave Robertson is director of football there, which is a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be a tough season for Drogheda. Often it is when clubs go down, and then a lot of people expect clubs to go down to bounce straight back, but that's not been the case recently. And I think Drogheda are going to find it tough. I can't say I'm inspired by Paul Skinner signing for them.
No.
And, you know, they've lost what I would call their better players from that relegation season.
And experienced players as well. You look at the likes of Stephen Elliott there. They've lost the Brennans. They've lost so many experienced players there, John. So a lot of the players coming in. Obviously, Paul Skinner has experience. But as we've said there, we wouldn't be, you know, overly excited about that signing. One very, very good signing, I have to say, that they've met is Gareth McCaffrey returning to the club. He left early on last season in their Premier Division campaign. He was the top goal scorer at the time. Went to Cabin Teely, didn't really play a lot towards the end of the season, but he's an exciting player, and I think he'll be a goal scorer in the First Division this season, and goal scorers could be hard to come by in the second tier.
Yeah, I just think they're going to struggle again, Kieran. I can't see them really challenging with that squad. They're 13 players, it's still, there's time for them to sign a few more, and we'll see where they go from there.
Moving on to another relegated side, Finn Harps, the big news there, Ollie Horgan. They haven't just kept him, they've kept him on a 2-year deal. Kieran O'Connor arrives from Dundalk. He had a loan spell there last season and impressed before moving on to Bowes. So great for Harps to get O'Connor back. Any other signings have stood out for you, or re-signings there?
I thought Aidan Friel did a good job for Longford at full back. So
he found it hard to nail down his position, John, in all honesty. Very good going forward. Defensively, you'd have massive question marks about him, but Ollie Horgan is obviously a defensive master, so maybe he can he can school Aidan Friel on improving that side of the game a little bit. And obviously one you have to mention is the re-signing of Paddy McCourt.
Yeah, that's the big one for them. But they're amused with you with their actual photos from their signings.
Yeah, there's been some strange ongoings on social media across the off-season there. But Harps signing photos have definitely, you know, livened things up a little bit.
They certainly have, yeah. Galway, Kieran.
Yeah, so 13 in a Galway at the moment. Shane Keegan stays on as manager. There was a lot of talk towards the end of last season whether he'd pay with his job following what was a back-to-back relegation from. Of course, he went down with Wexford Utes the season before. Ryan Connolly arrives back having spent a time at Shamrock Rovers. That's a fantastic signing, John.
Yeah, super signing that for Galway. I think we've seen his absolute quality. I expect him to be one of the better players in that league next season.
Interestingly, Stephen Walsh also returns. Longford fans will remember him. He signed last season. There was so much promise of him. Had a good start to the season, but once Noel Haverty and Daniel O'Reilly gelled together at centre-half, there was absolutely no way Stephen Walsh was getting in that side. Went Athlone. I don't think he featured at all there with all the ongoings.
Jury's out on him, Kieran, for me.
He's a good ball player at the back, John, but obviously with that takes a lot of risks on the ball, can be caught out, so yeah. that could be something to keep an eye on as the season goes on. Other signings there, Ronan Manning is a good addition, or a good re-signing, I should say. They've kept him on another year deal. Mark Ludden, experienced campaigner. It's an interesting squad, I have to say. It probably needs another striker in there. I think that could be something a lot of First Division teams are looking at the moment. They're just a bit light up front.
They've lost Hale Murray. They've lost quite a lot of players of Galway. Yeah. They're going to find it difficult as well. Again, it could well be, like Drogheda, a season of readjustment and rebuilding.
Yeah, so moving on to our very own Longford Town, 16 players on the books there at the moment. Do you want to run us through the big names there?
Yeah, sure. Well, we've talked to Darren Meenan on the show already. Mm. That's a massive signing for a club in the first division.
Yeah, and so unexpected as well. It's given, because, you know, speaking to Longford fans around the town there over Christmas, the one thing they said to me, they said, I don't know a lot about the players we've brought in. They seem to be young players. And Neil is definitely going with that approach, in my opinion, of a younger squad. We'll put that question to him shortly. But Darren Meenan brings in the experience and... as you'll hear in the interview that we played with him there earlier on, Darren, I put it to him, you know, Longford fans, they're talking about the fact that Stephen Rice came in, Pat Flynn came in, Pat Sullivan came in 2014, and they all had experience of winning the top trophies in this country, and it added a real professionalism to that Longford squad.
Yeah.
So maybe Darren is looking to come in and, you know, pass that knowledge on to what is a young squad.
But I think this season, Kieran, the key is, unlike that season, we have... The key players in midfield still signed up, the likes of Dean Zambra and Sam Verdon, who was very promising last season. Yeah. So, you know, we have the bulk of that midfield area. Chris Mulhall, big signing for me from Drogheda. He impressed me.
Yeah, the big question with Mulhall, and we'll put it to Neil, whether he's going to play up front or he's going to play on the wing. When he was with Drogheda last season, he played on the wing, was very impressive, got a couple of assists, chipped in with a couple of goals. And he got plenty of goals in a striker's role with Limerick. So he can play in both positions. I'm going to ask you now, on the striker position, Longford, they're clearly lacking a striker after the departure of David O'Sullivan. Is there any names you could put out there that maybe Neil could look at as potential replacements?
I'm struggling to think of anybody at that level, Kieran, to be honest. Yeah. I think it'd be down. I'm going to ask Neil about, you know, if he's maybe got his contacts through in England or anything like that.
That seems to be the trail of talk with a lot of Longford fans at the moment.
But I think he could start the season with Mulhall up front. It wouldn't surprise me if he did. But
if Mulhall's to get injured, though, John, there really is no other strikers on that squad list at the moment. So it is a huge worry for Longford fans.
For me, the crucial re-signings, the likes of Jack Brady, Peter Hopkins,
Dan O'Reilly,
Sam Verdon, these were young players last season, loads of promise. So, you know, they can only get better with another season under the club.
Yeah, final point on Longford, their biggest problem last season for me was the midfield, especially central midfield. They had Kevin O'Connor in there, fantastic player, but he, you know, the legs were clearly going. There's been no announcement from Kevin or the club yet, but I would imagine that he probably is going to retire from League of Ireland football. So, when Verdon came in, you could see a huge improvement. Zambra grew in that holding role as the season went on, but now, you know, players like Jamie Hollywood have come in, Evan Gavilan have come in, they're all younger players, and you've mentioned they're out on the wings, the likes of Hopkins, and obviously Meenan's come in now, so the midfield looks a lot stronger. And you know, I've heard a couple of reports that Longford mightn't be finished with their search for midfielders, so it looks like Neil Fenn's really going to bulk up that central area of the park. And you know, you would have to expect Longford to be right up there next season.
Yeah. A couple of clubs we don't know too much about their lineup for next season. UCD, Kieran.
Yeah, so not a lot of news out of UCD at the moment, but they're so consistent, John. They're always up around there. We know exactly what sort of football they're going to play. It's hard to make a judgment on a team when you don't really know what players they'll have. Obviously, they'll be trying their best to keep a hold of Georgie Kelly. He's been linked with Dundalk. Mm. And with Dundalk announcing a couple of signings in the next few days, could he be one of them? So that's going to be a big concern for UCD supporters. So very hard to make a judgment on them. But, you know, just looking at form over the last couple of years, and obviously they've kept their manager, Collie O'Neill, you'd have to say that they'll probably be in and around the same position as they were last season.
Yeah, Georgie Kelly's crucial to them. If they can keep him, that's good. Maybe that's somebody that Fenn could go after. We could maybe point him in that direction when we speak to him later. Final club, Athlone Kieran. Nobody quite knows what's going on there still. Any idea on players, Kieran?
I think you came up with quite a good term earlier, John. There's an X factor taking place in Athlone at the moment. They're holding open trials. Well, they're not open trials. You have to, I think from reading up online, you have to submit almost a football and CV. You have to be the right caliber of player to go and attend these trials. But there is an opportunity for you know, out of contract players and players from the local area. And the Leinster Senior League was mentioned as well. Players from that kind of area, football and background, to go and put their case forward to trial and play for Athlone next season. So they are going to, if all cases are to be believed, to an amateur basis. So you really, really cannot expect an amateur side to compete for anything near, you know, promotion next season. Obviously, the club is still, from last season, it still seems to be a lot of uncertainty there over over kind of issues off the field.
Kieran, I can't see Roddy Collins staying there if they go to an amateur status.
Well, that's the thing we have to mention, John. Roddy Collins has now moved into the general manager position of Athlone Town with Aaron Callaghan, the former Longford Town Bohemians and UCD manager, coming in. He's now the first team manager, and they've brought in a new assistant. So there's a new management team in place at Athlone. And from reading reports online, the goal for Athlone over the next couple of years is going to be producing young local players, they don't have to be local, but obviously, but that is the goal, because their under-15s won the inaugural under-15 league last season. So they're going to be looking to bring through younger players and selling them on. And that's the model they're going to look to follow. But, you know, again, that doesn't really convince that they can compete in the First Division next season.
No, I'd be concerned about that, to be honest, Kieran. I know there's a lot of clubs in England that, you know, a lot of the lower league clubs, they pride themselves on developing kids and then hopefully them getting picked up by, you know, Premier League, Championship size. But Athlone, we know from Longford's underage structure, a lot of players coming in from Dublin, so there might not be the player base for Athlone to do what they want to do.
Yeah, and just finally, Wexford, obviously, 11 players on the books at the moment. Damien Locke staying on there as manager. Probably a slightly underwhelming campaign last season. Obviously, it was their first season in the League of Ireland as Wexford FC. A lot of younger players there. There is some quite promising players, you know, on the books there. I look at the likes there of Connor Sutton. Dean Kelly was one that impressed towards the end of last season. Danny Doyle is another one that's highly rated. And Danny Bulger is a promising young goalkeeper as well. So there is some promising young players. I think it's a development season again for Wexford. They're probably going to be in, you know, a mini group that's just below the playoff places. Not really much more I can say on that, John.
No, I'd expect a lower to mid table finish for them. We're just looking at what they've got signed up. There's nothing too major. Nothing come into the club as such from last year's lineup. So I think you'll see similar performances.
Yeah. So just final word on the First Division, John. Obviously, it's very, very difficult to make a judgment at this stage on maybe how the outcome of the season might go, with so many teams still having to bring players in. But at this stage, if you were to pick a winner.
Probably go for Shells, Kieran, at the moment. Yeah. I just think the quality of the squad that they've got signed up, plus the addition of Davey O'Sullivan. Davey O'Sullivan's not going to have to be travelling for matches long way. I just think that could be the X factor that gives them that might propel them to the league title.
So rounding off our First Division discussion now, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to introduce you to the Longford Town manager, Neil Fenn. So joining us on the line now is Longford Town manager Neil Fenn. A big 2018 expected in the Midlands this season. Neil, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So Neil, pre-season is underway. You've announced the first two friendlies for 2018. It's going to be Shamrock Rovers and Bohemians, of course, two of your former clubs. Who else can we look forward to seeing the town take on in pre-season?
We're playing St Pat's on the 27th, so actually before the Bows game. Just waiting to confirm a time and a venue for that. And then we're playing Limerick on the 10th of February at home. So they've been confirmed, just waiting for the exact time and date to those. And then we're playing a team called the Philadelphia Atoms at home. Again, just waiting for confirmation of that one.
How has that come about, Neil?
It was actually, they're over here playing a few matches, and it was actually Liam Buckley at the time. We was arranging a Pats friendly, and he said, look, are you doing anything on the Tuesday before? Or the Tuesday before, I think it's the 3rd of February, the 6th of February. And I said, no, not yet. And he said, look, there's a team coming over. Do you want to play them? So we didn't have anything arranged, so we took it on.
Well, that should certainly be an interesting one, something new for the Longford fans to look forward to. And so I think I cut you off there. You were just about to maybe announce one more there.
There was, we're kind of penciling in Newbridge Town as well on the week before the season starts.
I believe they're managed by Paul Perth at the moment, former Longford Town man, and Sean Prunty, of course, involved there too. So that'll be a great little occasion for Longford fans. Moving on, Neil, you've had a big turnaround of players in the last couple of years. Obviously, you haven't been there, but you know, Longford fans from I suppose 2014 onwards, there's been a huge turnaround of players. Some supporters feel there might be a lack of experience in this current squad. You seem to be going for a younger side. Would I be correct in saying that?
I think the younger ones are easier to get over the line. I think the more experienced players have been a little bit more difficult to get over the line. There's a couple, or there's one, maybe one or two experienced ones going to be announced over the next couple of days. But it's just trying to get the experienced ones over the line is tough. You know, there's different options for them out there.
Yeah.
You know, so I've lost out on quite a few players who I wanted to get. So we'll keep going. Really pleased with the way the squad's taking shape at the moment. You're right, it is inexperienced, but there's experienced players in good areas that we need, so no, we're happy.
Neil, we were all very impressed with the signing of Darren Meenan. How did that come about? Because at one stage he was about to go to Belgium, I believe.
Yeah, I think he actually, you know, I met him before that, and he did tell me there was something happening in Belgium. He wasn't sure if it would happen. I said, if it doesn't happen, we'd love to have you. So he said, okay, look, and it took a couple of weeks, and then he went over there, and, you know, sometimes I've had it before where someone says something to you on the phone or agrees something with you, and when you actually get there, the reality is something a little bit different. You feel a little bit let down. I think that's what happened to him. So when he came back, he said, look, I don't want to be messed around anymore. I'm happy to sign for you, so we've got it done.
Is that what happens when you come on the podcast, Neil? We agree a time and a day, and then you feel a little let down when you come on.
maybe a little, not so much, but you know, it's a big. It was, you know, obviously for him anyway. He was trying to keep it. A lot of them, they're just trying to keep their options open, seeing what's out there. A lot of lads I've been speaking to, are hoping for America and stuff like that as well. So it's not just teams in Ireland after the players. There's American things and little bits and pieces like that too.
So if I could just maybe check with the status of a couple of players, a lot of supporters asking the moment about the likes of Kevin O'Connor, Don Cowan, Aidan Durbin and Tristan. Can you give us an update on those players?
Aidan Durbin's done.
Okay, excellent.
He's done it, busted, so he's been in training with us, so that's done. Tristan is re-signing tomorrow, so that's done.
Super news.
What's the other two?
Kevin O'Connor and Don Cowan.
Retired?
Kevin O'Connor... The last conversation I had with Kevin was that he was, I don't want to put words into his mouth about retiring, but that he couldn't commit to the times and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He was finding it difficult to get there at the end of last season. So he didn't want to re-sign for that reason. So I don't know if he will end up signing somewhere else, but the reason was for him, it was the commitment and the getting there on the time and stuff like that. And the same with Don, to be honest. So he told me the end of last season or towards the end of last season that he just couldn't commit to the times and stuff like that. So they haven't signed anywhere else. So I can only take their word for it.
Yeah, two great servants for Longford Town Football Club, and obviously fans will be disappointed to see them move on. But some really exciting...
Obviously Havo is another one as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's three out of the squad that actually retired. So, you know, that they would have been kept if they would have been... I wanted to carry on.
Neil, we were just talking about the squad earlier, and there seems to be a little bit of a gap in the numbers up front. We were talking about maybe Chris Mulhall playing up front, but have you got any irons in the fire for another striker coming in?
We've signed, I don't know if it's been announced yet, we've signed a lad from Junior Football, Hardwick Football Club, So he scores a lot of goals in the junior football. So we're hoping that he can come in and bang a few goals. And Chris Mulhall will play in the forward positions. Obviously, Darren Meenan are playing the forward positions. Evan Galvin are playing the forward position. So we've got, you know, he might have an out and out number nine, recognisable number nine, so-called number nine that people could see. But we've got a lot of attacking options. We've got goals from midfield as well. We'll be announcing another one soon, so he'll bring us goals from midfield. So, you know, we're happy. We're happy.
Do I perhaps pick up, yeah, Neil, there from your comments that maybe there might be a change in formation this season? Could 4-3-3 be an option, and, you know, not relying so much on a sole striker and more from players chipping in from wide positions?
Yeah, we played 4-3-3 last year when I got them anyway, so that would be, I mean, it's hard. Formations are formations. They change when you play different teams and different personnel. But I think last year we always tried to go, when we could, 4-3-3. So obviously, you're playing with three up front, so you're not just looking at one person. I think if you put all your eggs in one basket and hope that one person's going to score all the goals, then you're going to be in a little bit of trouble. So we're trying to spread it out a little bit.
Neil, I want to ask you, Stephen Henderson's tipped Longford Town for the title this season. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, thanks. I don't know. I think that it's hard to say, isn't it? The squads are not finalised. It's a little bit too early to say who's the favourite, who should be. I think that, you know, obviously Galway have strengthened their squad quite nicely. Well, not strengthened their squad because they've lost a lot of players, but have signed good players. Shells have signed good players. Cove will always be around. Cavan Teeley have signed good players, so, you know.
Goals for 2018, Neil. Have you been set a target? Have you set the players a target? What can you tell us?
No, I don't believe in setting. I mean, obviously, we want to get promoted. I mean, that's just, I'd be stupid if I just stood there and said, listen, we don't want to get promoted. So that's the target. I mean, we all know that. That's probably 75% of the league's target is to get promoted.
Yeah.
On top of that, if we can get a nice little cup run here and there, that's great as well. But I think that when I come there, the first thing they said to me was, look, we want to get promoted next season. So I understand that, you know, everyone wants to get promoted, so that's what we're trying to do.
Well, Neil, you've been more than kind with your time once again. Happy New Year to yourself and all the family. We look forward to seeing you in action in pre-season over the coming weeks, and very best of luck.
Thanks, lads. You too. I'll see you soon.
See you soon, Neil.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Bye now.
Wow, so quite a number of exclusives there from Neil Fenn-John. An American team coming over for a friendly, a new signing announced tomorrow, a couple of experienced players in line to be signed by the club. So it's exciting times for Longford fans.
It is, and exciting times for St. Pat's fans as well, because it sounds like Philadelphia playing them as well in pre-season. Yeah. So,
always great to see a new team in action. So,
absolutely, yeah. So very good, and we've got an exclusive signing as well.
Yeah.
A new striker.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see who that is. But, you know, I know well what's going to happen now. This striker is going to be announced. People are going to say, oh, non-league, so underwhelming. But you have to remember, David O'Sullivan came in from Wayside Celtic, and look what he done. So you can't just write off non-league players. Even going further back than that, Longford Town brought in Vinnie Perth, Paul Perth, players like that from non-league football, and they just had a huge impact on the club. So we'll be interested. We'll keep an eye out for that tomorrow. And
Enjoyed the show so far? Why not drop us a review on iTunes? Is there something you'd like featured on next week's show? Tweet us on @BetweenStripes or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our website address is www.betweenthestripesblog.wordpress.com. Enjoy the second half.
So kicking off our Premier Division discussion now, we're going to speak to a disgruntled Limerick FC fan. Kevin Kiley has been very, very vocal on social media in recent weeks about the perceived lack of organisation, I suppose you could say, around the first team at the moment. Obviously, Neil McDonald has left the club. I wouldn't say through any fault of the club. Scunthorpe come in, offered the man a job. We believe compensation was agreed. Obviously, it's untimely for Limerick, who will now be in a bit of a panic to get a replacement in. But I think it's the recruitment side of things more that Limerick fans seem to be very worried about at the moment. There has a lot of activity. And a lot of pundits, supporters of the league seem to be making Limerick's favourite for relegation at the moment. So this is Kevin Kiley's interview, and enjoy, folks. So as all our regular listeners to the show from last season will know, a big part of the podcast here is giving fans from around the league the opportunity to speak and to air their views on topics and events in the League of Ireland. And we're delighted to be joined by our first fan of 2018. It's Kevin Kiley from Limerick FC. And Kevin is just after telling us off air that he's actually in the process of setting up a Limerick FC podcast. So if you want to give Kevin a follow on Twitter, the handle is @KevK37. And I'm sure there'll be details there in the coming weeks and months. Kevin, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So Kevin, anyone that follows you on social media will know you as a very passionate Limerick fan, but you're a very angry Limerick fan at the moment, very outspoken about the running of Limerick FC and the perceived lack of organisation around the first team ahead of the new season. You currently only have 13 players signed up to the first team and obviously no manager after the departure of Neil McDonald last week. Do you feel the shades of 2015? Obviously, that was a horrendous pre-season. The recruitment was very poor. I think the club probably took their eye off the ball that season with the Marcus Field move coming up. And obviously, the ultimate result there, despite a great run in the end of the season, was relegation. Do you feel the shades of that at the moment around the club?
Yeah, and that's to be honest, why I'm so angry is that we've made this mistake so recently. We've done this so recently, and we've seen how it's ended. And it's basically a carbon copy of it is happening again. We're nowhere near prepared going back to pre-season. Now, the Neil McDonald thing can be argued whether it is the club's fault or whether it isn't. But we've had this before. We've had the same thing with Stuart Taylor when there was talk of his budget was cut. We've had it with Martin Russell. It obviously happened and ended in relegation. And I know that Neil in private has been telling some of the players that he's been having a bit of trouble getting deals over the line with them and others. So it's without the club coming out and saying anything and without any information coming from them, it seems like it's the same old story with Limerick, and it's very, very frustrating to see it happen again.
Yeah, but one thing you can't accuse Limerick of, Kevin, Limerick and Pat O'Sullivan have never been afraid to make big calls. Obviously, you go back to the time of Pat Scully, he won the first division with Limerick but was then dismissed. Stuart Taylor came in, I think everyone knows from the start, he probably was never the right man for that job. It didn't work out. And Martin Russell came in. So really what you're looking at here, Limerick, they're not afraid to make big calls, but perhaps the replacements that have come in over the years haven't been the right men for the job. Do you feel maybe that the chairman is making bad decisions, or is he perhaps receiving bad advice around the club? What's your opinion on that?
Well, no, like you say, Pat has made some very big calls through the years, and no one down here wants to be having a go at Pat. We're all very, very grateful for Pat. I would have never, in my time supporting the club, have seen Premier Football without Pat O'Sullivan. We're all very aware of everything he's done for the club, but there's making big calls. They've made a wrong call as well, and I think it's a mix of both. I think he's made some bad decisions based on bad advice, but I think he's gotten some good advice from people that he's ignored as well. Like, I think I made it very clear, I felt myself he held on to Matt Russell too long. I think the Stuart Taylor experiment, they were big decisions, but I think there were safer bets there that probably should have been taken at those times.
And just on the potential new manager, who do you feel should be the man to replace Neil McDonald? This is going to be, you know, a huge decision for Limerick, and it's probably fair to say that this decision is going to decide whether they can compete and stay up in the Premier Division next season or not.
Yeah, well, personally, I think I've made it be known I'd really like someone like Stephen Henderson to get a go. Now, I don't think it's very realistic. I think he'll stay where he is, but that's someone like that I'd want. And the rumour down here now at the minute is that it might be Trevor Crowley, who, to be honest, I'd be happy enough with as well. I know he had some of the troubles at Shamrock Rovers, but a lot of managers have had troubles at Rovers over the years. I think he's a very similar manager to what we had with Pat Scully, who's ultra-professional, and that's really what we need now at the minute. We need someone who's going to come in and get people to do the finer details and things. So I'd be very happy with someone like Henderson or Crowley. I think it has to be someone now that knows the league. I think we desperately need that now. We can't have someone coming in. We don't have the time for a manager to be coming in, settling down and getting a lay of the land in the league. We just don't have that time.
Well, yeah, I suppose either of those two would be a good option. Henderson, there's obviously not a lot of money rolling around in Cove, and I'd say he'd probably jump at the chance of managing in the Premier League this season.
I'm not sure, John. I think he's probably quite happy where he is, to be honest. There's a long-term plan at Cove. they've had great success over the last couple of years. Obviously, last season there was no playoffs, but had there been COVID, the runners up, so that they would have earned a playoff place. They got to the playoffs the season before that. You've mentioned there's probably not a lot of money rolling around. You can see that by the fact that no real new signings have come in, and there's been a lot of re-signings, but that could be a positive for Cove this season. I feel it will be a positive because they have a core group there that know each other. It's not going to take them a lot of time to gel. For me, Stephen Henderson, without a doubt, is the best manager in the first division. So I can see why Limerick supporters would be looking to get a man like that in. But I feel that's unrealistic at the moment.
Trevor Crowley, a good appointment?
Would be
a
fantastic appointment. Myself and yourself here discussed last season when Alan Matthews left Longford that Trevor Crowley was one of the names we were really pushing for. Would have loved to have seen taken over at Longford. He's been out of the game since he left Bray, but even in that short spell of Bray, he turned things around quite quickly. He's not just a great manager for the first team, he looks at the whole club and the youth structures and everything. So for a club like Limerick, where community is so important, I think Trevor Crowley, not just in the short term, but the long term, would be a great appointment.
Kevin, two standout players last season for Limerick, Rodrigo Tosi and Ogbeni. What's their futures?
Rodrigo won't be back. From all the talk down here, is he was made an offer that he was nowhere near happy about. So I'd be surprised to see him back in Ireland, to be honest. He seems declined. If you look at his past, doesn't stay long in countries. He's openly said while he was here that him and his wife love to travel and see new places. Now, there's rumours a few other League of Ireland clubs are following him. I think us, we have Chidozie, obviously, to play up front. We have Danny Morrissey signing this talk. We're going to be signing Conor Ellis. He's training with us at the moment.
Yeah.
So I think that's us done with strikers. But Chidozie's been over on trial in England. He played an under-23 match with England. There's talk that Brentford and Aston Villa are the two clubs seriously chasing him. But we haven't heard much more about it. But there could be a bit of movement in January, or maybe, hopefully, the fans are hoping. I know it'd be great to have the money, but we're hoping we can keep Chidozie till July at least, because he'll be very, very important to us to try and stay up in the division.
I'm not sure about it. I don't think Ogbeni is going to be there at the start of the season. I don't, just the way, you know, he was last season, the way he played. He'll have caught somebody's eye, and I just can't see him being at Limerick.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you, Don. I really can't see him being there next season. Kevin, just final question. With everything going on at the club at the moment, the lack of players, new signings, lack of a manager, can you survive next season realistically?
It's going to be very, very tough, but I think if things were to get done quickly now, if things were to get done in the next week, if we were to, say, get a Trevor Crowley and let him get to work immediately on the... Let's be honest, there's not many players left of Premier Division quality around without a club, but we could get him in immediately and let him get to work. There's every chance we could scrape, but it's going to be a long, long, hard season, but not as impossible. And if things can pull together, we might get a bit of luck, we might do it, but I wouldn't be hopeful of a fantastic season.
Yeah, well, I have to say the Marcus Field is one of my favourite grounds to visit. The Limerick fans are always so welcome and very friendly with away supporters. Always a great buzz on match day down there. So we're going to leave it there, Kevin. Want to thank you very, very much for coming on the show. Best wishes for Limerick next season, and for your podcast that you're setting up, and we obviously keep an eye out for that.
Thanks for having me, lads.
Yeah, cheers, Kevin. Speak again.
Cheers now.
Thanks, bye-bye.
So, as always, great to get the views of a supporter of the league. It's always one of the most interesting and exciting interviews, in my opinion. But we're going to move on now and speak to a journalist from the League of Ireland. Dave Donnelly is a man who works for the likes of Extra Time. He has his own website, The Second Post, which I highly recommend everybody checks out. And we're going to speak to Dave now about all the big transfer dealings over the off-season. And Dave joins us on the line now. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be joined on the show now by Dave Donnelly, The Second Post. Check out that website. It's an absolutely fantastic resource in terms of checking all the latest deals in the League of Ireland. Not the latest signings, but the full squad lists and the re-signings. So it really is a great source for people like ourselves. Dave, you're very welcome to the show.
Good. How are you?
Great, Dave. Basically, we're just going to run through the squad list on a squad-to-squad basis with yourself, and maybe if you want to pick out what have been the biggest transfers or indeed re-signings, some big re-signings at the likes of Bray there in recent days. So what deals have stood out for you in recent weeks?
I suppose one of the most eye-catching ones over the past few days was Keith Buckley going back to Bohemians from Bray Wanderers. I think he revealed in his interview with the Bowls website when he signed back that he tried to sign back during the summer last year when Bray had their kind of highly documented problems, I suppose. That's maybe one that will. I think that'll maybe change the way they play next season in terms of as well as their belt. Really kind of jumps out is I suppose Barry McNamee to Cork City as well as maybe a big. A game changer in the sense that it might change the way Cork City play in terms of playing with a number 10, a creative player in the centre there, which they probably haven't really done over the past couple of seasons with Sean McGuire, I suppose. Sean McGuire shaping the way that they play. So those are the two that would jump out to me. And also the last couple of days, Dundalk signing the Lithuanian international, Karolis Chvedukas, I believe it's pronounced them.
I'm glad you said that.
We'll leave it to you.
Well, from Sulava in Lithuania, who did quite well actually last year in the Europa League, going into the playoff round. So he'll be a player with plenty of as well as plenty of experience playing in I guess games of that standard, and won't have any problem stepping up to the League of Ireland or really stepping across, because I don't think there's any real difference between the top teams in Lithuania or Ireland.
Yeah, myself and John are actually going to have a discussion on Bray shortly, so we'll move on from that. Just on Cork there, you mentioned obviously McNamee arriving there, and you feel that might see a change in style at Cork City. Just in the overall picture, they've obviously lost a couple of players. Stephen Dooley was a surprising one to lose to Coleraine. Campion's also gone there, gone to Lingfield, excuse me. Do you feel their squad is stronger overall or perhaps slightly weaker than last season?
Compared to the start of last season?
Well, let's just say without Sean McGuire, let's take him out of the equation, because what he done last season was simply unhuman-like at stages, that he was totally unplayable. So take out McGuire perhaps, how do you feel the squads compare?
Yeah, well, obviously, McGuire would be the biggest loss, because I think I kind of mentioned it there in terms of the way they play. He was kind of he was such an all-round dominant player in terms of the way that he played. I think he, I touched on it there, but I think the fact that they haven't had a player like Barry McNamee in the past few years, they did kind of try bringing in the creative number 10 and Gavin Houlihan a couple of years ago, and he never really got the chance maybe that he deserved. I think part of that was probably down to the fact that Sean McGuire was so much better than I think anybody could have expected, that he more or less took over that role. He was basically playing the part of two players, I think, at times. So I think it kind of suited John Caulfield and his mindset more to maybe have three sort of hard-working orthodox midfielders in there. He didn't exactly need a creative player in the centre. But with McGuire now gone, and they're kind of their obvious problem scoring goals towards the end of last season, I think maybe he might just be looking at a squad and looking to change, I suppose, and maybe not go so quickly from back to front and out to the wings, and have threats in more areas, I suppose. And Barry McNamee is very much a player who can provide that. And as you saw with Derry City last year, he's more capable of chipping in with 10 plus goals.
Big re-signing for me was it was a big on-off transfer of war, was Cal Shepherd staying at Cork rather than going to Dundalk.
Yeah, well, that was kind of a surprising one. I think throughout the season, I think everybody expected him to go. It was more or less confirmed that he's going to go up to Dundalk. But I think maybe just the season, and I don't know, Shepherd mentioned a couple of things about maybe not being able to trust Stephen Kenny in terms of things he said in the media. I wouldn't pay too much attention to that. I just think that he wanted to stay. And at the end of the day, he wanted to stay in Cork. He wanted to stay with him in Ireland. And I think he got his wish in the end, and maybe... Cork have to do a little bit of extra preparation to keep him there, but it's worked out well for them, and maybe left Dundalk a little bit short. But as we'll see with them, they've recruited well as well.
And Dave, just one last word on Cork. I think I'm good at my job, but I tell you what, there's one person that must be really good at their job, and that is Josh O'Hanlon's agent. A real surprise move there from Pats to Cork. I didn't see that one coming.
No, I didn't see it coming myself. Yeah, as you say, he's kind of he's had a couple of spells at Longford now. I think he was very impressive in his first spell, and I think maybe when he came back, he might have been coming back from England. He might have just I don't know what you'd say. He didn't quite hit the ground running the same way, and I think he went to Pats. I think he found it very difficult there last year in a team that maybe in the same way they weren't playing particularly well. They were lacking experience, and I think maybe. Himself playing up front, the player hasn't scored an awful lot of goals in this league, trying to fill in for Christy Fagan, who's obviously a talisman in this league in terms of the numbers he scored for that team. So I think, you know, he was playing a difficult role. I think a lot of time he was kind of Daniels and doing a lot of thankless work, whereas, you know, fans probably would have preferred him to be in the box scoring goals. But, yeah, it'd be an interesting one going to Cork. I think, in terms of his play, I think he'd probably suit the squad. He's big, he's strong, he's quick. I think maybe some people might question his work rate. I think some people in Longford might question his work rate. But in terms of what I saw from Pats last season, I don't think that would be an issue at all. So, you know, it's the big thing for him, I think, is just whether he can start scoring goals. If he can do that, he could be a big asset to Cork City.
Going to play probably a similar role at Cork to what he did at Pats. You mentioned Fagan there being the main man at the Cork squad. Graham Cummins has come back in, and he looks like he's going to be the main talisman next season. So you'd imagine O'Hanlon will play kind of a second fiddle role. Do you feel Cork have enough up front next season, or could they maybe look to be in another body?
It's hard to know. I don't know what level Cummins is at the moment. I don't think he's scored a huge amount of goals in kind of a spell over in England and in Scotland. I know he's coming back from St Johnstone, where obviously Dave McMillan has gone to basically replace him. So I'm not sure exactly how well he'll do. He scored a lot of goals for Cork the first time he was here, but that's kind of 6 or 7 years ago now.
Plus it was a first division level too, you have to remember, Dave.
Yeah, that's true as well. But you know, he went over to England. He probably found it a bit more difficult than he would have liked over there. He's back now. I think he's 30, 31 now. So certainly, from what I remember him back in the day, he certainly has a talent to do well. Whether he hit the ground running with John Caulfield's team, as I said before, they play quite a specific way, and they might be trying to change that this season. It'll be interesting to see.
Moving on to Derry, they're the most well-stocked team at the moment with 19 players on their squad list. What have you made of their business so far?
Well, Bohemians are the most well-stocked.
Apologies.
But yeah, they've done an awful lot of work in the off season. I think they brought in more players than anybody else. They brought in, let's see, 9 players as far as I know, including a few players from abroad. I suppose the most eye catching one would be the Hale brothers. Ronan, the 18-year-old striker from Birmingham City, has scored an awful lot of goals at underage level there. He changed his allegiance from Northern Ireland to Republic of Ireland about a year ago there, and he scored a good few goals for the under 19 since stepping up, and I think he'll be up to the under 21 soon enough. His brother Rory obviously was at Galway last year after going back from Aston Villa. He did very well there. He looks like a very useful player. So obviously the two of them are grandsons of Danny Hale, who is kind of a legendary striker for Dundalk and Derry City and Glenfield over the years. So yeah, that'll be an interesting one to see if Ronan in particular can adapt to League of Ireland level and start scoring goals, particularly if there's more interest in the likes of Ronan Curtis again, as there was in the summer window.
Yeah, and Aaron McNeff, they've kept a hold of him too. He was linked with a move to Dundalk. So we'll move on to Dundalk. You've mentioned the signing of the international player. Obviously, the other big deal there is Ronan Murray arriving from Galway. So how do you feel the Lilywhite squad is looking at the moment, Dave?
Yeah, I think it's looking quite strong. I think they've got 5 new players in for this season. I think they've got Ronan Murray in on a 1-year deal, and the rest of them are kind of on 2- and 3-year deals. Stephen Kenny was even talking about earlier in the week in terms of losing the likes of McElhaney and McMillan and Bemland over the summer for free, and in past years losing Richie Tell, losing Daryl Horgan, you know, losing players for free every season, it's not really sustainable. And I think maybe they're looking to maybe safeguard against that by having longer term deals, and maybe I suppose offering players a bit more so that they're not you know, looking to leave every year. But in terms of the players they brought in, I think particularly Chivadukas might be a very good signing. As I mentioned before, he's played at a very high level. He's played 30 odd internationals. He played 5 out of 10 World Cup qualifiers. He was playing in they're only narrowly beaten in the Europa League qualifiers last year for by Ludogorets. Only 2-0 in the second leg, so they beat Shakhtar Soligorsk along the way, the team who kind of fairly hammered Derry City a couple of years ago in the Europa League. So they seem like a high caliber team, and he's he's not taken a step down, I think, from that league and the team he was playing for. So I think he'll certainly be an interesting one to look at. Dylan Connolly, obviously, with a pre-season behind him, I think he'll be a more instrumental player this year. Stephen Folan coming over from Galway certainly should be interesting. In the defence, with Dean Jarvis also coming in, there's plenty of change there, especially with them going out. And I hope him coming back from England as well. That will be interesting to see over the past kind of 3-4 years if he's if he's added anything to the game, if he's because obviously Dundalk have changed the way they played since he left. They also brought McMillan in to replace him in the first place and kind of maybe played a less direct game. So it'll be interesting to see what he can bring to the table next year as well, and if he can keep injury free.
Yeah, that'd be a concern for me with Dundalk, the loss of Emelin, McElhaney and McMillan. That's three big names. But I tell you what, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that it could lose Stephen Kenny if this talk of
takeover?
No, the talk of the Irish manager going, I forgot his name now.
Martin O'Neill
going to Stoke City. So for me, that could be a possibility.
I don't think so, John. Dave, what's your views on that?
I wouldn't think so. No. I don't think he's the FAI's type of appointment, I suppose. They brought in Brian Kerr a few years ago, but that was based on kind of plenty of success at underage international level. I just can't really see them going for it. Has such little experience that kind of
And I've just mentioned that. Sorry, Dave. I've just mentioned the word takeover there. Obviously, in the next couple of days, it could even be tomorrow. Since tomorrow, the American-based takeover of Dundalk is expected to be completed, and by the looks of things, it's going to just bring Dundalk to a totally different level. Obviously, there's concerns. You know, we've seen this type of thing in the league before, and it hasn't gone well. But this could really bring Dundalk onto a totally new level. And you'd imagine Stephen Kenny, who is on a long-term contract until 2020, and there's talk that they might even extend that, the new owners.
Okay.
So you'd imagine Kenny's there for the long haul, and it could be quite an exciting couple of years for Dundalk.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Certainly, I'm not sure exactly what their kind of what the owners' intentions are in terms of if they're going to be looking to pump extra money in or whatever. But I think I mentioned Stephen Kenny's comments earlier in the week there in terms of tying players down to longer contracts and maybe more generous contracts in terms of being able to keep players. And I think his comment was that we're not going to be able to keep developing if we keep losing players for free every summer, or every winter. So. I think that might have been maybe a little bit of a veiled comment directed towards the new owners in terms of what he's looking for. But I'm not sure exactly how that will go in terms of there's only so much money that you can invest in a team in this league. There's no point Dundalk throwing 2 million budgets at the league if everybody else is only spending half that. So. I think from all I've heard about the owners in terms of their involvement with Bournemouth and things like that, I think they're probably more on the conservative side. They wouldn't be the old style League of Ireland chairman from the Celtic Tiger years, throwing millions at developing all sorts and throwing money at bringing players back and paying them £3,000 a week. I just don't really see it happening, and I don't see it happening in Dundalk at the moment. But I think it probably signals as well, maybe that with the likes of Maguire and McElhaney and all these players going over, whether for free or whether for a fee, as you've seen with Fouad Soule from Bohemians last week going to Bern, even a team of that level can afford to pay a fairly decent fee for a player. So I think maybe outsiders, maybe investors are starting to see that there actually probably is a bit of value in players in this league because they can step up to a certain level, and maybe it is possible to make a bit of a profit in this league. It's I'm not sure I fully agree with it, but I think it's possibly something that they're looking at.
Yeah, we'll skip the Limerick squad, Dave, because we're going to have a Limerick fan on the show shortly to discuss the situation there. So we'll move on to Shamrock Rovers. 19 players on the books at present. I suppose the big ones there, Greg Bulger's arrived from Cork City, and they've managed to keep a hold of Brandon Mille. So your views on the Rovers squad at present?
Yeah, I think it's shaping up fairly decently. I think there's probably a few more players to come in, I'd say. There's probably 2 or 3 players to come in from abroad yet, so... It'll be interesting to see that. They certainly need to maybe strengthen a bit more in defence in terms of they lost Simon Madden. Well, they let Simon Madden go. They let Dave Webster go. So there's plenty of experience in there that they've let go. They brought in Ali Gilchrist, who's a young defender who came from St. Johnstone. He never played in the league for them, but he played a few times in the Europa League against they lost in the end. But I'm not sure what kind of standard he'll bring. But I know in terms of recruitment from abroad, Stephen Braddy with his scouting background, I think he's probably had, in terms of the last couple of seasons, he's maybe had a little bit more success in that regard than some other coaches, just because of the contacts he has, I suppose, and because he's looking for a certain type of player. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I think the main thing for Rovers is really continuity. They have quite a few players on sort of a longish terms deal. So Trevor Clark, there seems to be less talk this winter about him possibly going over to England. He's going to be a huge player for them. Ronan Finn is obviously the captain. He's leading everything. Lee Grace came in. He's on a couple of year deal as well. So there's plenty to be cautiously optimistic about for Rovers. But I do think they'll need a couple more high profile signings if they're to, you know, do what they want to do and start pressurising the likes of Dundalk and Cork.
Dave, moving on to Sligo. They have 15 on the books. They signed the standout signing for me was flying winger Keelan McAleer from Harps there.
Yeah, I watched him quite a few times last year, and he's a super player.
Good player.
He was a surprising one, I think, coming in from, wasn't he last in Scotland's Scottish second tier, I think?
Yeah.
He came in and, he's a Northern Irish underage international, so plenty of quality there. I wasn't quite expecting him to be quite so fast and maybe so skillful, but so the thing for him last season, he ended up picking 15 yellow cards or something mad like that. Yeah. So that's something he'll need to look at. But Jared Little has done a quietly very good job at Sligo Rovers last year. I think he maybe flew under the radar a bit in terms of taking over a very difficult situation and steering them to be quite comfortably clear in the end. So I think the same situation. They have a couple of trialists over with them in the Netherlands, and what sounded like a very entertaining game, they finished 5-4. It looks like they're going to have signed a couple of those. So,
so hope it's not defenders and goalkeepers after that match.
What's that?
You know, I said, let's hope it's not defenders and goalkeepers after that scoreline.
Yeah, that's it. But I don't really know what to make of Sligo Rovers. It's a small squad at the moment, but they'll be supplementing with under-19 players. But even if you look at the kind of the players they've signed up now, a good chunk of them are kind of 17, 18, 19, so I think it might be a difficult season for Sligo Rovers if they can't win more players. But I think last season the people in charge there showed that they will invest if the squad is struggling, if they need a little bit of help. So I'd expect to see a few more players come in there as well.
Just moving on to finally to Waterford there, because we talked about St. Pat's earlier with James Dooner. Waterford, few impressive signings. They look like they're not just there to stay up. They signed big striker Ishmael Akinade from Bowes and Bastian Heary, Gavin Houlihan. Decent signings.
Yeah, I mentioned Houlihan earlier in relation to Cork. I don't think he really got half the opportunities that his talent probably deserved. I think he can be probably top two or three standout sort of players in that number 10 role in the league. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Airy coming over from Limerick, I think he was very impressive in kind of the final stages of last year, whereas he hadn't been before that. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of consistency he brings. Akinade, obviously, we know his talent from the last few years. They brought in Niall Corbett in goal from UCD as well to compete with Matthew Connor. So it'll be interesting to see kind of who gets the number one shirt there. But I think Waterford are looking fairly good. We saw last year when it maybe looked like it was going to be a contest in the first division, they were able to kind of pull in the likes of Paul Keegan from England. They just had a spending power that maybe nobody else could compete with. And I think they're certainly not going to do badly this year, but that way they're not going to struggle in the many teams that come up to.
Well, Dave, that's been a fantastic rundown. Myself and John are going to go through the first division signings and re-signings shortly, so we'll leave it there with yourself. I want to thank you for coming on the show and keep up the great work. As I said to all our listeners, make sure you check out Dave's website, The Second Post. It's a fantastic resource. And thanks for joining us, Dave. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
Cheers, Dave. Thank you.
Speak again. Cheers, Dave.
See you now.
So we wanted to start the 2018 show with a bang. I think we've done that so far with some of the great interviews we had, and we're going to round the show off now with a big name interview. James Duna is a highly rated young player within this league. Everyone expected him to sign for Tranmere Rovers in England, but strangely he's gone from Shamrock Rovers to St Pat's, which has caused a bit of a stir in Dublin, of course, and it'll be very interesting to see when those two sides meet in the Premier Division next season how things play out. But this is our interview with James Duna now, ladies and gentlemen. It's the last interview of the evening, so please enjoy. So I'm delighted to be joined now on the podcast by new St Patrick's Athletic signing. It's James Duna. James, you're very welcome to the show.
Cheers, lads. Thanks for having me.
So, James, it looks like it's going to be a big 2018 for yourself. You shocked many by signing for St Pat's. Obviously, there have been a lot of links with Tranmere Rovers over the off-season. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about that, whether that was just paper talk or if there was a reason behind maybe opting for Pat's over a move abroad.
Yeah, when the season just finished up with Rovers. I went off to Tranmere and I was over there for a while and things were going well. And there was another one or two clubs possibly I was going to in, and we do our best. So we got on to my agent and that and talking, and I ended up staying another week and things went well again. And I was up in the FA Cup game with Peterborough and that. And obviously then when I came home, we said I'd reconsider everything, and I was just waiting for them then to make a formal offer. And well, as we were waiting, then Pats came in, and there was another two or three League of Ireland clubs, so I was just seeing which is best offer, like in case no one did come away. But then obviously when Pats came in, it's I'm a local boy, like it's just something that I couldn't refuse, really.
Yeah, you mentioned the local link there, James, but obviously you had been given your chance to break through in the League of Ireland with Shamrock Rovers, and you'd spent a number of years there rising through the youth ranks before, you know, really starring for Stephen Bradley's team at stages last season. Was it a tough decision to leave the Tala club?
Yeah, like it's always going to be tough leaving a big club like Shamrock Rovers, and I'm grateful for the 2 years, 2.5 years that I had up there. I really enjoyed my time, and that last year I felt I had a decent enough year. If I would have probably got in a little bit more, I probably could have contributed a little bit more, but that's just something I never know. But I just felt this year coming up a new challenge.
Yeah, and obviously you're one of a number of big name signings that have been made over the off season at St Pat's. Just looking here, the likes of Simon Madden, Kevin Toner, and obviously experienced players like Owen Garvin and Killian Brennan have stayed with Pat's for this season. So the expectations must be high around Inchicore at the moment.
Yeah, like as it should be as well. Pat's is a big club, and from what I've known from Pat's is European football, winning trophies, leagues, cups, and what have you. So obviously it's last year, whatever happened, I'm not really sure, but I'm sure we'll be aiming back up for them expectations.
Do you feel this squad has what it takes to maybe challenge for the title next season?
There's a lot of quality in the team, so just the hard work, and obviously you need that bit of luck along the way, and you never know what can happen.
And James, it's John here. I was just going to ask you, what's your personal goals for next season? Is it you know, just to establish yourself in the Pat's starting lineup, or
no? Well, for me personally, I'll be looking to get in. Obviously, from the start, there's, as I said, it's a lot of quality in the squad, so I need to be playing my best to stay in the squad and get in it, and that. And then from there, you're looking at young player of the year. You want to, I want to get into the 21s team back in around the Ireland setup, and then obviously again, at the end of it, if I did play well and go back over to the UK and reconsider options over there, then and depends what deals and that, you know. So get in and be self a set goal so you can score into double figure goals. Last year I got a few goals, so this year I'll be looking to get into double figures now and push on.
You'd be looking to have a good season and sign for a different Merseyside club, maybe Liverpool or Everton instead of Tranmere.
Hopefully Liverpool. I'm a Liverpool fan.
And tell me, James, how's pre-season going so far?
Yeah, it's been very good. Obviously, when I was away, I was doing bits myself and that. And still have continued on doing bits, but now pre-season, they're flying. It's been really good.
Yeah, is much difference between how Pats would set up pre-season to Rovers?
Not really. A lot of running and that, really. It's kind of all similar.
And finally, James, I'd imagine you're looking forward to under Liam Buckley. He's obviously a man that encourages great attacking and passing football. And for a young player like yourself, I'm sure that was crucial in agreeing to make the move to Pats.
Yeah, obviously, I'm really looking forward to working with Liam. He's a great manager, and I feel as if we can have a good relationship on and off the pitch. So whatever I need to work on, I can go and talk to him. He can deal with this and that. Obviously, he played. I think he was a winger in his day as well, so we know a lot from being as myself. I'm a winger, so he can help me a lot.
Well, James, I'm extremely excited to see how St. Pat's go this season. As I said, a number of signings, including yourself, and it looks like there'll be some great football played at Richmond again this season. So, myself and John, want to thank you for coming on the show and wish you the very best of luck for 2018.
Cheers, thanks. Thanks very much.
Cheers, James. Best of luck.
Thanks, James.
Gentlemen, that has been our New Year special. Thank you very much for joining us. I hope you've enjoyed it. We're just going to give a couple of shout-outs before we round it up. Lockridge Pharmacy here in Drumlish, once again, who are hosting us again this season. Huge thanks to Pádraig Lockery for that. Our sponsors, Flowmax.ie, they have agreed to come on for the entire season. They will be sponsoring every show. So make sure you check out their website, Flowmax.ie. That is a huge boost to ourselves. Really helps keep the show on the road. So thanks to Michael and all the team there. And Diageo are currently working on our new website, and we're hoping to be having that launched in time for the new season. So again, Kieran and the team there, thanks to them for their support. You can follow Between the Stripes on Twitter. At Between Stripes is the handle. You can follow myself and John there also. My tag is at KieranBTS, while John, what? At John Breyer will go, I think it is.
I should know. I've been on Twitter all week, turning notifications off.
Exactly. So obviously this is going to be on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Casts, and Podcast Republic. So simply search for Between the Stripes LOI Podcast on any of those platforms and you will find us. And please give us a subscription, especially those of you that are using iTunes. We had a great end to the year last year, climbed as high as number 6 in the sports charts, and I think we were something like 43rd overall, John, in the iTunes charts. So we'd love to start the new year off the right way and get as high up those charts as possible and do that each and every week this season. Obviously this has been a new year special, a special edition, but Between the Stripes LOI Podcast will return, of course, for the new season. We will be back on the Wednesday before the Premier Division kicks off, and then obviously we'll be back the week after to review all the Premier Division action and get ready for the start of the First Division. And we might even have a President's Cup special before then, we'll have to see. So as always, keep an eye out on our social media pages. That's been it, folks. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you again soon.
Don't forget, subscribe on iTunes or alternatively follow us on Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Casts or Podcast Republic and never miss an episode. See you next week.